To Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4. Whatsoever in my mind that most of the suffering that occurs in our life, most of it, in many cases, I can't be absolute, but most of the suffering in most cases, I think, in our life is not physical suffering, it's mental suffering. Depression. Worrying, anxiety, and probably not a person here that cannot relate to that in some way, that we see things that disturb us or distress us. You don't need to turn there, but the Bible mentions in Proverbs 23 that we are what we think. You've heard we are what we eat? No, we are what we think. And what I mean by that is what happens in your mind is eventually going to come out. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so the way we think is going to affect the way we talk. And the way we think is going to affect the way we live. my wife and I joke about this a lot. If you read a list of ailments that you might have, oh, I don't know, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, or you can name one, heart disease or whatever, the cure is always the same. Diet and exercise. But I was studying the other day. I was getting ready for my CDL physical, and my blood pressure tends to run a little bit high. And so I was reading up on how to lower your blood pressure. And I was watching some YouTube, and everyone says the same thing. One of the causes of blood pressure is stress. And stress is mental, isn't it? And they're not talking about physical stress. They're talking about things you worry about, things you think about. Let me ask you a question. Can you tell me how many times do you think God has ever been worried about something? Right? Oh, let me ask another question. How many times do you think God's been out of control? Or he didn't have control of something? Can't think any of those either, right? God never worries. He's always in control. So you got to admit to me, and I have to admit to you, that when we worry, one of two things is happening. We're either forgetting or we're not trusting God. Amen? Foolish, foolish us. I've done it. You've done it. I got to tell you the story again. It just came to my mind, and it's so clear to me. I remember it happening. My friend that had fallen and torn his ear half off, and he's laying in the emergency room. He's not worried about his ear. He died on the way to the hospital, and they resuscitated him. And now he's laying in the ER, and this guy's sewing his ear back on. Did a good job. He wasn't worried about his ear. He wasn't worried about his heart. He wasn't worried about dying. He was worried about paying the bill. Laying there in the hospital thinking, this plastic surgeon is going to be expensive. He was in the ER, I don't know, half the night. And I've told you the end of the story. Do you think the bill got paid? Yeah. Now this guy, Glenn, right? Was that his name? He was poor as dirt. He had a bunch of kids, and he didn't have a lot of money. He was serving in a church in a little town, and he didn't have any money. But God did. Look at this passage. This is the title of the message is The Battle for the Mind. And the battle for the mind is a struggle between the things of God and the things of the world that takes place in our flesh. The devil seeks to control the territory of your mind. Listen to me, everybody here. The devil wants to control what you think about. He doesn't want you thinking about certain things. He wants you thinking about other things. There's a battle, and he is fighting it, and you need to fight back. So I'm going to read a verse we read last week, and then I'm going to move on past that. In Philippians 4:6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. I explained to you last week, that means don't be worried. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. What's a proper frame of mind? There should be some hope. Amen? Do you have hope? Peace. Clean thoughts. Absence of depression. Absence of hatred. Absence of bitterness. Contentment. Satisfaction. Absence of distress. Absence of anxiety and worry. So it's two sides there. It's the things we ought to have, the things we shouldn't have. The devil's a liar. And if you listen to him, he'll lie to you. And if you'll believe him, he'll wreck you. He'll wreck you. He will destroy you if he can. And he's going to fight that battle of the mind every chance he gets. So what's the secret? How do you win that battle? Now, I'm going to show you that. But you got to make a decision. And the decision you need to make is, I'm going to do it. I met with a lady one time in Maryland. I'd just gotten there. And she had been offended by someone in the church. And the person that had offended her didn't even do it on purpose. And this lady was very offended. And she came into my office and sat down. And I said, you know, the Bible says we need to forgive people. And I understand that you took offense. I just want you to know you need to forgive. The Bible says to forgive. Amen? She said, I can't do that. I thought, I did not say it because it wouldn't have been a wise thing to say, but it wasn't a question of what she could do. It's a question of what she would do. What she really meant was, I won't do that. And she might have even not hesitated to say it that way if I'd have asked her again. And I'm not going to tell you that what I'm showing you here is easy, but I'm telling you it's doable or God wouldn't have shown it to us. Amen? So you just see some things here that we can do to win the battle of the mind. Look at verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing. Look at verse 8. He says, think on these things. And then look at verse 9. He says, follow the examples you've been given. We'll come back to each of those in just a minute. Now, let me show you some absolutes. This is definitely 100%. There's a lot of them in this passage. Look at that word nothing in verse 6. There's absolutely nothing that we are to worry about. There's absolutely nothing that we are to worry about. In verse 6, absolutely everything is to be requested from God. Everything. Amen? The Bible says everything comes from Him. What do you have? You say, Pastor, I got some things God gave me I didn't ask for. And that's because He's a good God. But what if you had asked? Amen? And I'm thinking of Psalm 37. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Two-edged sword there. He'll change what you desire, and then He'll fulfill those desires. There's absolutely no way to understand the peace of God. In verse 7, you ever try to rationalize something? Oh, I know how God's going to give me peace. No, you don't. You can't explain it. It passes all understanding. But have you ever known the peace of God? Well, I think you hopefully have. When did you get saved? Remember that peace when you got saved? Young person, think carefully with me. That day you asked Christ to forgive you for your sins, do you remember how good it felt to know, I'm saved? That's peace. How did God do that? I can't understand it. You can't either. But just back up a step from there and say this with me or agree with me. God can give you peace. Amen? Say, Pastor, the situation. No. Be careful for nothing. Ask for everything. And God will give you peace. Amen? We spend a whole lot of time outside of that peace because we refuse to do what God said to do. Absolutely everything we think about should conform to God's will. There's a list, and I won't read the whole thing, but I'll start with it. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Now, just think with me for a minute. Do you realize You cannot conduct this experiment without getting yourself in trouble. But if you could sit down in front of a television at prime time on a weekday night and start watching what they show you, let me just ask you, do you think it's all going to be true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and of virtue? No. Because the devil knows how to reach you to get you to think the way he wants you to think. And in case you didn't notice, God doesn't run the television station. Sometimes there are some that pretend to be that way, and they might be awful close, but by and large, they're peddling a product that most of the world wants, and most of the world is lost. So they're going to show you violence and murder and immorality and wickedness. And then if you watch it long enough, you're going to start wanting it. It's going to change the way you think. I'm going to ask you three questions, okay? The first question, what is the problem? And I could say, it could be personal, and say, what is our problem? In other words, what is it that we worry about? He says, be careful for nothing. Let your request be made known to God. And then the peace that passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds. We will lose the battle of the mind if we worry, if we are careful. The word means to be anxious, to be troubled. It's the opposite of peace. You could think of peace as a contrast to worry, the opposite of worry, the other side of the coin. To worry is to care, to look out, it can involve promoting one's interest ahead of God's interest or worrying about what you're going to do instead of what God's going to do. I already said it. If you and I saw things the way God sees things, you wouldn't be worried. We might be sad. It makes me sad to see a lost person die and go to hell. But worrying isn't going to change that. Witnessing will, but worrying won't. What if God does thus and so? What if God does this, Pastor? Well, then that must have been what's best, because God never makes a mistake. So when we worry, what we're really doing is we're really not seeing things the way God sees them. You will lose the battle of the mind if you worry, if you don't pray, and if you try to understand everything. There's things I don't understand. There's things I've been through in my life I don't understand, and you too. There's things we've seen that we don't understand. When we get to heaven, you say, well, when I get to heaven, I'll understand all that. We'll understand a lot, but you're going to be so busy enjoying the company of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to worry about anything in heaven. And you're not going to be too worried about what happened here. You'll just know he did what's best. So you're going to lose the battle of the mind if you worry. What is the problem? What is our problem? The problem is we don't trust God. What do we ponder? That word ponder means to think about things. And again, I'm jumping down here to verse 8. Look at these words again, and you might dwell on these on your own time. I can't spend enough time to do them all justice, but things that are true. In other words, that which is perfect, that which is real, that which is eternal. Things that are true. You know, one of the things that young people can get fascinated by is video games. And I'm convinced from seeing it, I think, video games can change your personality. In fact, they can consume you. They can make you want things you wouldn't otherwise want. I gotta say, I don't understand a lot of things, but I gotta believe if a young man or a young lady sits in front of a computer shooting people, that they get desensitized to that at some point in time. And then maybe they want something bigger. I've never seen anybody shot. I don't want to. But I know it's a horrible thing. It causes suffering. I've never seen anybody die from a gunshot wound, but I wouldn't want to inflict that upon them. Something brought a person that was an innocent little child from that place to the point to where they would take a gun and shoot someone and not even think about it. What you think makes a difference. Amen? things that are perfect, things that are true, things that are honest. The word means proper. It's the very same word in 1 Timothy 3 when he says the deacon must be grave. It just has the idea of being what you ought to be. Things that are just, righteous, observing divine laws. Things that are pure. It comes from a Greek word that means holy. Things that are lovely. That means things that are acceptable or pleasing. Things that are of a good report. That is an idea that we use the word to represent it. We call this optimism. You've heard of the test for the optimist and pessimist. You show somebody a glass and you fill it up halfway. And the question is it half empty or half full? The optimist says, hey, I got a half a glass of water. The pessimist says, it should be full. You know what? God said in the Psalms, he said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Can God satisfy you? Amen? Optimism says, I expect God to do good things. The pessimist probably forgets about God and says, oh no, bad things are going to happen. I really, really am. I'm rubbed badly sometimes by people that are pessimists because they just don't trust God. Folks, God's going to do what's best. Amen? Things that are of virtue and of praise, things that are praiseworthy. So the problem is the worry. The things that we ponder are important, and then there is a pattern to follow. And if you go back and look in chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now, this is a two-edged sword also. Who do you look at as an example? I look at Christ, amen? But what about people? Are there some people that you can look to as an example? I was thinking tonight on the way to church, I had a friend in Maryland. This fellow's name's Bob Mays. He's, what do you figure, Deborah, 75? Yeah, he's older than Mr. Mendez. He's a good man. He called me one time and just to be nice to me, invited me to come to an ordination council and be on the ordination council. And at that council, I didn't do the best job I could have done. I don't know why. I just didn't feel like I did. He was not the least offended. He was so nice to me. He'd call me up. He'd say, hey, Pastor Schaefer, I'm going to this fellowship. You want to go? He'd come pick me up. He's had a hard life. Had a lot of illness, and his wife's had a lot of illness. They haven't had a lot of money. The church couldn't pay him for a long time, so he drove school bus to make a living. And I can tell you stories about him all night long. But I can tell you something else about him. He's a man I'd like to be like. I know a man in Salt Lake, well, north of Salt Lake City in Logan, Utah. Haven't seen him in a decade or more, named Jerry Stonehouse. He's a man I'd like to be like. He trusts the Lord. He's got a good spirit. He's a never say die kind of a guy. He just believes on keeping on going. And even when people are bad to him and when bad things happen, he just keeps on going. I want to be like that. But here's the thing, folks. People around you need an example. Maybe you could be that person. If everybody thought the way you thought and did the things you do and acted the way you act, what kind of world would it be? When I was in Carlsbad, New Mexico back in the 60s, the pastor had a saying that stuck in my mind. He said, if everyone in my church were just like me, what kind of a church would my church be? What if everyone in your family was just like you? What if everyone in your school was just like you? What if your friends were just like you? Would that be a good thing? It ought to be, amen? Can it be that you would be the good example? Say, well, Pastor, I couldn't do that. Yeah, you could. You're like that lady. You just won't. You could. At least do this for me. Put some effort into it, amen? And folks, young people, it starts with what you think. In Proverbs, the verse basically says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever is in you, that's who you are. So, well, nobody can see it. God can. Nobody knows what I did. The teacher was deceived and she didn't know what I did. God knew. And God was merciful enough to you, maybe not to let the teacher see that time. I wouldn't be so worried about what the teacher does. I'd be worried about what God does. Amen? What is your pattern? Who do you follow and who can follow you? I'll just say it plainly. You're going to lose the battle of the mind if you decide not to live a godly life. If you decide somewhere along the way, and it comes back to salvation, but past that, if you decide, I'm not going to be godly, you're going to lose the battle of the mind. Paul was willing to say, do what I do, think what I think. If you do not deliberately think and act according to God's will, you're going to lose the battle of the mind. Wicked thoughts lead to wicked actions. Sin brings depression, doesn't it? We've been there, we know. Selfishness brings despair and misery. Why are so many young people today so depressed? Because they have been given everything and they have tried everything and they have everything and they're still not happy and they can't figure out why and they just give up. I've seen it. You'd be a lot better off growing up without a lot of things and having to struggle for what little you got and realizing that it comes from God. Lack of faith is going to lead to hopelessness and worry. Failure to pray is going to lead to unnecessary care. The devil is very, absolutely interested in winning the battle for your mind. Young person, pastor, don't worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it, but you ought to be thinking about it. Look at the effort that the TV and the radio and the music and the magazines and the internet that the devil's put into gaining your mind. And folks, a captive or a defeated mind will keep you from serving God. Unhealthy minds are also very contagious. Other people are going to see you and they're going to be doing some of the things and thinking some of the things that you do. If the battle of the mind is lost, I cannot deny the fact it's our fault. God can give us victory. Amen? I didn't say it's easy, but God can give us victory. Now, just three things. Number one, God's word can inoculate you. What did David say in Psalm 119? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Memorize scripture. Oh, pastor, that's work. Okay, let the devil have his way then. It's your choice. Memorize scripture, especially when you're young. You know, I'm old enough now. I can't remember things the way I used to. I used to memorize a verse. 10 minutes and I'd have it. And then I could just work on it all day long. And I can't do that anymore. I got to work at it harder. But I can still do it. You got to memorize scripture when you're young. And you can memorize a lot of it. I know a guy, I won't name him, but he memorized the New Testament. He would preach a 45-minute message that was nothing but Bible verses. He would not say anything except Bible verses for 45 minutes. It was a really good message. I heard him do it in Salt Lake City one time. Nope, what you do, what you put in your heart, if it's God's word, it can inoculate you from the devil's struggles to win your mind. And then prayer, if you believe, will prevent worry. Now, is God always going to do everything you ask him for? Paul said he asked three times for God to take away the thorn in the flesh, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul threw a fit, right? No, he trusted God. And we need to as well. And one more thing and I'm done. Obeying God will safeguard you. Young people especially. There are some young people that have decided, I'm sorry to say, that they're just going to do what they want to do. If the teacher says don't, well, that may or may not be what they do. It depends on what they want. But there are some Christians that have decided they're going to do what they want to do as well. If God says don't, well, they're going to do what they want to do. And if you wonder why you're losing, if you're losing that battle for your mind, I can tell you sin will cause you to be defeated. So it's a decision, amen? when Paul wrote these words, the Holy Spirit inspired him to do so, he didn't say this is impossible. He said, be careful for nothing. He said, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. And then he said, here's some things to think about. And here's some things to do. And folks, it works. Amen? Look, I understand. Flesh, spirit. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so you cannot do the thing that you would. You're going to always, until you step into eternity or the Lord comes back, you're going to fight against the flesh. But if you don't even put up a struggle, you're going to get whipped. There was a man in our church in Salt Lake City. His name was Trent, I think. No? Yeah, was it? Trent, wasn't it? Yeah, Sarah was his husband, or his wife, right? Yep. Trent, nice guy, quiet, pleasant. Seemed like the kind of guy that wouldn't hurt you. Just a nice guy. Had three children? Four children. Little children. Three, five, you know, eight. Little children. Worked for Exxon or Texaco or somebody like that as in a refinery. He was a petroleum engineer of some kind. Got paid good. Had a nice house. Nice wife. Went to our church. Something got a hold of him. I don't know what. I wished I knew. I didn't get to see the note. The pastor did. He got on a motorcycle one night on a Friday and he rode from Salt Lake City, Utah to Evanston, Wyoming, checked into a motel, walked out in the parking lot and shot himself and died. Christian. Folks, it's a real battle. You say, I'm not worried about any of this. I'll just do what I want to do. It's a real battle. And the devil will gobble you up if he can. And if you're not willing to put up a godly struggle and to wear the armor of God and to be a soldier, oh, I pray for you because I don't want to see you suffer. And I really hate to see people suffer unnecessarily when you could have been victorious. You could have had such a better situation if you just do it God's way. Folks, it's real. Let's all stand and pray.